Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, broadcasting one more night here tonight from the West Coast, from the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150 in Los Angeles, Burbank, California, to be specific, covering the debt ceiling theater, of course, tonight, and those live speeches that you heard us carry from the President of the United States and the House Speaker John Boehner in the previous hour as the Republicans continue to put a gun to the head of the nation if they don't get their way in every way, shape, or form. I know we got some more folks who want to talk about this on the line. I'll get to your calls momentarily at 877-520-1150. We will be joined by veteran columnist and journalist Robert Scheer in this hour to get his perspective on this fine mess and how it's all going to break out, break down, finish up by next Tuesday, I guess, August 2nd, when, if a deal is not had, the United States officially goes into default. I suspect that's not going to happen. The only question is, how much are the Republicans going to get their way, the little crybabies? By the time we get there, how much are the Democrats, Barack Obama and the Democrats, going to be willing to give away for the problem that, in truth, they really didn't create? I know that Obama himself said that both parties created this mess. In truth, both parties didn't, not as far as I'm concerned. I feel a little bad here because, you know, usually if you guys have heard me when I've been in for Mike in the past, we had the budget battle. I can't remember when it was, earlier this year when I was in, and we were able to get a solution for that literally in the third hour of the show. I guess it was Friday, the third hour. They finally got a solution. My last day sitting in for Mike solved that problem before he got back. The Mubarak problem out there in Egypt. Got rid of Hosni Mubarak on the last day that I was sitting in. Solved that before Mike got back too. So I feel a little guilty because I was hoping we would be able to solve the debt ceiling crisis before Mike Malloy returned, which he will tomorrow. But oh well. Sorry, Mike. I tried. Can't win them all. I do my best. We had a completely different show planned for you tonight until the president and the Republicans decided once again to ruin my night. Among the things I had hoped to talk about was this Norway, the Oslo shootings, and these idiot right-wingers who came out on, what was it, Friday, when the shooting happened and immediately started blaming, Muslim jihad. Well, what do you know? It wasn't that. Sorry, Andrew Breitbart, you got it wrong again. We'll try to cover that a little bit here in a bit or in our third hour. Also, another fine mess up in Wisconsin now where they are implementing photo ID restrictions at the polling place. We'll have some news on that, hopefully, in this show. Certainly tomorrow on bradblog.com, if all goes well. And last week, some of you may recall, if you heard the show, that I talked about a big, big exclusive that I have been working on, a series of them. And in fact, part two of the series, I actually lost in my 5,000-word story right before coming on the air last week. Well, I spent the weekend recreating that. So though we're a little day or two late, we're still on track. Got part three to come, and we will be presenting it soon at bradblog.com or elsewhere. And that's all I'll say. I will mention it has something to do with Koch brothers. But other than that, I'm not going to give you any more hints. And let's get to some of these calls, some of the folks who wanted to ring in on the debt ceiling theater crisis, phony nonsense. Let's go to Carol in Walnut Creek, California. Hey, Carol, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you very much, Brad.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm getting increasingly outraged by the use of the term entitlements to describe Medicare and Social Security. I looked up entitlements on Wikipedia, and it says, in a casual sense, the term entitlements refers to a notion or belief that one is deserving of some reward or benefit. As a legal term, entitlement carries no value judgment. It simply denotes a right granted. Mm-hmm. This is neither a right granted or are the deserving of some reward or benefit. This is my hard-earned money put into the Social Security system so that when I'm old, I can pull it out and be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And I resent the fact that even President Obama is using the word entitlement, which skews the picture of what it really is and makes it sound like something that we don't have, that we have not participated in, that we just get as a present, like
right.
Someone buys you a dozen roses.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, no, I do know. And I mean, it's difficult because, in fact, it is an entitlement in that you are entitled to it because you paid into it and you are entitled to, you know, to get what you paid for. So, but I know when you hear entitlement, you know, because people say, oh, they think they're entitled to this or that. Well, in truth, you are entitled to this, but it's not some special deal, some special bargain. I don't know how you otherwise talk about it and talk about these things. I guess you can call them social programs, although that will soon, you know, also sound like it's trying to marginalize these things. But no, you're right. This was a deal that you made. If you pay in X number of dollars, you will get X number of dollars back down the road. This is a deal. This is a bargain. But as you can tell from the Republicans, they don't give a damn about deals and bargains because we also had a deal and a bargain to pay our bills. And now they're acting like they feel they don't have to pay them just because suddenly they don't want to. You know?
Well, you know, I definitely think they use the word entitlement to diminish.
Yep.
Our right to have it. And there was one more comment I wanted to make, and that is that when Speaker Boehner kept referring to bipartisan legislation, he was talking about, what, four Democrats and a ton and a half of Republicans?
Yeah.
That's such a misconception that it was bipartisan.
Well, now you're implying that John Boehner would try to pull one over on the American people, and I just can't
abide by it.
That would never happen. Hey, Carol, thanks for your thoughts. Thanks for using your public airwaves to make some good points here tonight. I really do appreciate it. Thanks for calling, Carol.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Let me get to Kevin in, where are we here? Kevin in Colorado Springs. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you, Brad. I'm a disabled person. I've been disabled for 13 years. I'm blind. I've never been as scared as I am now. Come July 3rd, I will possibly not get a Social Security check.
August 3rd. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Carol made the point, one of the points I was going to make, about it is something I put my hard-earned money into. I've been frustrated with the president because he's talked about giving away some of these entitlements or cutting some of these entitlements. And I listened to him tonight, and I've got to say, I think that this will change even more the American public opinion away from the Republicans. They are very badly overplaying their hand, and I intend to stand firm with the president as long as he doesn't make any cuts to the Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid. Because it's something, just like Carol said, I paid into. It would be different if you just gave it to me. But
yeah.
I paid into it.
You did. I know. And you deserve to get what you paid for. But you know what? These people aren't playing that game. They're playing their political games. They don't give a damn about you, Kevin. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And I'm not... I'm speaking specifically about the Republicans there, but yeah, Obama was willing to cut a lot of these services. I'd like to think that these benefits would not be cut, that they're talking about, fraud and restructuring the system, but, you know, I don't know. Make your voice heard, Kevin. I appreciate you making the call here.
Hey, I wanted to ask you to do one other thing.
All right.
The president talked about people calling Congress. Can you give out the national number for calling Congress so that you then can get a hold of your elected representative?
Yeah, let me go get that for you. And, Des, if you can pop that up on my screen here, I'd appreciate it. I was going to say that we're getting news reports right now that while Obama suggested contacting members of Congress, Apparently, some house servers are reportedly crashing under the traffic of
Very
people trying
good.
To contact them.
Very good.
And, of course, Wolfram, a fella on a very funny guy over on Twitter, says, say what you will, but it was really stupid to allow Diebold to handle the White House computer systems.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Kevin, I appreciate the call. Keep up the fight, brother. Good luck to you, and we're all in this mess together, so we got
yes,
your back.
Sir.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break here shortly and then come back with, Bob Scheer is going to be coming in at the bottom of the hour. We'll be joined by Robert Scheer, get the big picture perspective on this fine mess. And I will also very quickly, can I get this in? Joyce, let me go real quick to Joyce in Nevada. Hey, Joyce, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, Joyce?
I just have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
If Obama is the commander-in-chief,
yep.
and they don't want to come up with a budget like he wants, mm-hmm. can't he just say to hell with them and say this is what it's going to be?
Well, sort of, in that some people interpret the 14th Amendment of the Constitution as giving the president the right to do that, in that it says the debt of the United States of America shall not be questioned. So if Barack Obama wanted to, he could play what is called the constitutional option and say, you know what? I'm raising the debt limit on my own. I am spending, I'm going to pay the troops. I'm going to pay the Social Security bills. I'm going to pay the bills of this nation that we have incurred. I'm going to do that on my own authority because I believe the Constitution allows me to do that. And then, of course, he can be sued by someone. Presumably Congress would have to pass a resolution to take the president of the United States to court. So, yeah, he could do it if he wants. We might get a constitutional showdown out of it. But, yeah, he could do it. And he's trying to do everything he can to avoid that. Hope that answers.
Yeah, well, at the moment, though, from the way it's sounding, what the Republicans want to do is going to hurt the elderly. It's going to hurt the handicap, and it's definitely going to hurt the future because the kids are the future. So if they cut Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security, where does that leave it?
Yeah, well, that leaves us in a mess. Now, they're not going to cut all of it. You know, they're not going to get rid of all of it. And I believe he's going to fight for something that... I don't even know anymore. I don't know what to think anymore. I do know that he does not want to exercise that option, but you know what? If that's what it comes down to on August 2nd, I hope that's what he does rather than let this nation default on its obligations. Only Republicans would call for that. Joyce,
I agree because I also feel like they're only doing it because he is the president. They
of course. You
the
bet.
Limit on everybody else. So why now? Because he's black?
Well, because he's a Democrat and this is their latest stupid idea. Joyce, I got to get to a break. I appreciate your call. Drive safely out there. And we're going to be back with more Mike Malloy Show and Robert Scheer at the bottom of the hour. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Please stay tuned.
Money. Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still.
Yeah, foolish grin right now on CNN. They had this jackass Eric Erickson from Red State. .com or .org or what, you know, whatever right winger he is who is paid by CNN to be wrong, basically. One of the things that he was wrong about Eric Erickson last week as we were going on the air, we had these Oslo shootings that turned out to be a right-wing extremist. An Islamophobe who did these killings. Yet that didn't stop guys like Eric Erickson from going out and saying that it was Muslim jihadists who had pulled off this killing. Andrew Breitbart did the same. Both of them on Twitter. They have now deleted their tweets because they were so terribly wrong, making fun of the whole situation, saying, oh, I bet it's not a Lutheran who pulled it off. So I can't read you what they actually said. I read it this morning, but by the time I went to copy it down, it was gone. In the meantime, Glenn Beck had, unbelievable, making matters worse, Glenn Beck had this to say on his radio show about this camp where these kids were killed last Friday.
So, Saturday, I was following the news of the shooting in Norway and the explosion in Norway, which happened, what, on Friday?
Yeah, the explosion was, and then we left the air, and
right,
and then he went to, you know, the camp.
Yeah, well, when we heard the explosion, everybody was willing to say, it's Muslim extremists, it's Muslim extremists.
No, everybody was not willing to say that. Only idiots like Eric Erickson, like Andrew Breitbart, like Jennifer Rubin over at the Washington Post, responsible people, did no such thing. But Glenn, please continue.
I don't think we made a comment on it because we didn't know, other than there was a bombing that happened. And as the thing started to unfold, and then there was a shooting at a political camp, which sounds a little like, you know, the Hitler Youth or whatever. I mean, who does a camp for kids that's all about politics?
Are you kidding?
Disturbing.
Disturbing? Are you kidding, Glenn? Is that really the way... You're going to compare this camp where almost 80 kids were killed by a gunman to a Hitler youth? Really? Really, Glenn Beck? And then you go on to say, who does a camp for kids that's all about politics? Disturbing. Well, who would do a political camp for kids? Jason Easley over at Politicus USA has an answer. He says that this month, the Tampa 912 Project held a summer camp for kids called the Tampa Liberty School, which was described on their own website as a part-time summer camp that will meet from 9 a.m. to noon on July 11 through 15. Kids aged 8 through 12 will have fun while learning the principles of liberty, free markets, and limited government. They will also learn the values of personal responsibility, faith, courage, hard work, reverence, and thrift. Of course, the 912 Project was created by Glenn Beck, and that camp would be put on by the Tampa 912 Project. Or as Glenn Beck likes to say, disturbing. Who has a camp for kids that's all about politics? Well, let's see. There would be the Hitler Youth and you. You jackass, Glenn Beck. Back with more Robert Scheer here on the Mike Malloy Show right after this.
The devil went down to Georgia.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. One more night here. He will be back with you tomorrow. So soon your long national nightmare will be over. Even if the phony, fake, idiotic debt crises in quotes, continues. We're going to speak with Robert Scheer here momentarily. But a caller had asked for the Capitol Hill switchboard as Obama made his speech earlier tonight and called on the American people to contact Congress if they would like to see the balanced approach, the quote-unquote balanced approach, as the president described it, with includes spending cuts and tax revenue increases, although a lot more spending cuts than revenue increases. Nonetheless, he says, if you want that balanced approach, let your congressman know. Well, apparently we've got some reports that the Capitol Hill switchboard has been knocked out by the volume of calls. Don't know if it's back up or not. Nonetheless, if you'd like to call your congressman, 202-224-3121, that's 202-224-3121, or alternately, 202-225-3131. Let them know what you think. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. You can reach us via the Twitters at TheBradBlog. Also over in the bradblog.com chat room, which is up live and rolling whenever we are sitting in for Mike Malloy. So stop on by and say hello there. For Earth and Dez are both in there moderating and being nice to everyone as they usually are. Okay, I wanted to get a bigger, a broader, if you will, perspective on this entire fine mess of what we're seeing now in D.C., not even just now with this showdown, with this debt ceiling, this fake crisis here, but with this entire fine mess as we're heading into D.C., heading into an election year, you know, to explain what the hell we're seeing right now. To that end, I thought Robert Scheer would be a great guy to talk to about this, and that's what we're going to do here. Robert Scheer is the editor-in-chief of TruthDig.com. He's earned a great many awards and honors during his 30 years as a journalist. His columns appear in newspapers across the country. His in-depth interviews have made headlines, including the famous Playboy interview magazine in which Jimmy Carter confessed to lust in his heart. And he went on to do many interviews for the L.A. Times with Richard Nixon, Reagan, Clinton, and everyone else you can think of. From 76 to 93, he served as a national correspondent for the L.A. Times before becoming a contributing editor and a columnist there. That column ran weekly for 12 years, and it's now based at truthdig.com. He can also be heard on the political program Left, Right, and Center on National Public Radio, and I could go on and on. He's written 9 books. Any case, this guy knows what he's talking about, and hopefully he can answer some of my questions about this fine mess. He's also a colleague of mine, I should mention, at KPFK, Pacifica Radio, where we both do a show once a week. Robert Scheer, welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. boy, I'm trying to figure out where I should start with you. Should we start with that mess, the president and Boehner there, or should we go to the big picture first?
Well, the sad thing is, you know, first of all, the debt ceiling is going to be lifted, just as it has been lifted, as the president mentioned, every other time, because Wall Street will go crazy and the ratings agencies will go crazy, and so it'll come down to the wire, and at the end of the day there will be some so-called compromise. He used the word over and over, compromise, compromise, compromise. The question is, what gets compromised away? And what I didn't like about the president, there's two things basically I didn't like about the president's speech. I thought Boehner's was all full of crap. I mean, I don't care, I don't have to analyze that. I mean, that's just a phony. These guys talk about they want smaller government. Big government means the people are smaller. Well, why do we have big government? Because we have a big military, because we bailed out Wall Street, because, and you know, and the Republicans have favored every one of those things.
Of course.
They pushed it through under George W. Bush. The bailout and everything else came from them. So for them to talk about, you know, smaller government when they're not willing to cut defense spending, which is at Cold War levels, and they're not willing to cut their gifts to Wall Street, that's just utter nonsense. But what was disappointing about the president were two things. One is he has surrendered the basic argument. The reason we have a problem now is that the debt went up 50%, beginning with George W. Bush, but it went up 50% because of the economic meltdown, which, by the way, my book, The Great American Stick-Up, documents the origins and everything else. And,
right.
And the fact of the matter is this did not have to happen. And it didn't happen because of Social Security or Medicare, which have nothing to do with it. Nothing. And he even had, I thought it was absurd that he mentioned people might not get their Social Security checks. Why not? The Social Security Trust Fund is not in debt. The government owes the Social Security Trust Fund money.
Right.
It was borrowed from the Social Security Trust Fund. Why should that even be in play? Social Security did not contribute to this problem either, by the way, did Medicare. So the idea that these programs, the best programs America has ever had on the domestic level, are being thrown into play by this president, I think is really frightening. And when he he basically gives up the big argument. What he should say is we are in deep trouble because of bad policies of radical deregulation that unfettered Wall Street greed, cost all of us these jobs. By the way, corporations, big corporations, are doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
Their profit pictures are quite high, but they're creating jobs overseas and not here. And he would say, look, you know, I followed George W. Bush's policy. That's why the debt is high, but I'm not going to now make the ordinary Americans accountable. I'm going to stick it to the people that I bailed out. I've saved their bacon. I've saved their job. For instance, he mentioned hedge funds. The hedge fund manager, pays less than his secretary. Well, why is that? That was a bipartisan policy to treat hedge fund income at a lower rate than ordinary working income. And by the way, his great economic advisor, Lawrence Summers, the year he was advising Obama in 08 when Obama was running, got over $4 million from the D.E. Shaw hedge fund, that very year. And certainly he and Geithner did not in any serious way look at the hedge funds when they came in, but it's good that the president now mentions it.
Let me ask you this, Robert, speaking with Robert Scheer. Bob, when you talk about the fact that Obama said that Social Security checks might not get paid, are you angry that he would even bring this up, that he's even talking about changes or cuts to Social Security, or the fact that
the whole thing, Social Security should not be in play. Now, Medicare, medical costs, you have another issue, but as Paul Krugman points out today, that's a general health care cost issue, and in fact, Medicare is a much better program than private insurance. So any idea of shoving seniors over into private insurance would be the same as when they wanted to privatize Social Security. That's just nuts. Yes, we have to do something about health care costs and about the power of the insurance companies. That's for real. Social Security is not in any objective trouble. If it were, by the way, you just increase the caps.
Right.
So people paying over $102,000, making over $102,000 for a couple, well, okay, they'll pay extra Social Security. That's not a difficult one, but that's not going to be in trouble, for what, 25 years?
Exactly, 2037. And by the way, it seems to me they ought to raise those caps anyway. But is it possible that when he talks about a Social Security check not getting out, that that is pure politics trying to scare the hell out of people?
Well, first of all, if he did that, it would be the most irresponsible thing, because he would be mean that he would be paying back people who can well afford not to be paid back, and he would take it out on seniors who are dependent upon their checks.
Right.
I mean, that would be nutso, but what really is disturbing is he should have pointed out that Social Security is by no means insolvent, and the Social Security Trust Fund can pay at 100% for the next 25 years, and even then, after that, at their worst projection, still can pay 75%. And the reason the Social Security Trust Fund might not get its money is because the U.S. government has been living off it. That's the credit card.
Well, right, but why the hell then is Obama even including...
Are you allowed to say hell on this radio?
You can say hell. Not too much more than that. But yeah, you could say... actually, there are a few more things as the show goes on. But why the hell is he even including Social Security, which is solvent for the next 25 years? Why is that even a part of this grand bargain here at all, Bob?
Because he's a compromiser and believer in triangulation, just in the mold of Bill Clinton. And there's no, that's really quite depressing. Bill Clinton gave away the store when he was president with radical deregulation and what he called welfare reform, which ended the federal poverty program and the Telecommunications Act and so forth. And that was all done in the name of compromise with a compromise that benefited Wall Street in the case of the major economic deregulation. And what Obama is doing is positioning himself for the next election, and he's going to be the grand compromise. But he's compromising away the security of people who can't take the cut. You know, I mean, people on majority of people on Social Security are on the edge. You know, the most successful program that we have had in this country that lifted a whole category of people called seniors out of poverty was Social Security and Medicare. And by the way, everybody presents that as some kind of generational divide. The fact is, if you take away the security of the grandparents, then the grandchildren are going to be paying right now. What, are they going to let their grandparents starve? You know, everybody presents it as somehow, we're coddling the seniors who paid for this their whole life,
right.
You know. But, you know, I remind people, you know, somebody, my mother lived with me until she was 88, you know, and that little Social Security check she got helped a little bit while I was in graduate school, you know, so I didn't have to pay all of her bills.
Mm.
You know, and this idea of pitting the young against the old and it won't be there for you, this is all, you know, he should have denounced that kind of rhetoric. Instead, he's embraced it.
And yet you think, Robert Scheer, that one way or another, before next Tuesday, they're going to come to some kind of agreement. And at this point, the only question is, how much of the store is Barack Obama going to get away? Is that pretty much the way you see it?
Well, first of all, the the literal date of the second is only important if the credit rating agencies, which have no right to be rating anybody, these are the guys who told us the banks were doing great with their mortgage-backed securities and it was all honky-dory and everything during the great bubble. But anyway, if they use that August 2nd date as a way of changing the credit rating, that is a big deal. But in terms of the money, they have wiggle room. They do. And that's why Wall Street, you know, Sorkin points it out in the New York Times today, that's why Wall Street is not panicking. But any idea that these Republicans are not going to lift the debt ceiling ignores where they get their money from. These people are not anti-Wall Street. For all the populist rhetoric of the Tea Party and everything, they are being funded by the fat cats, by the big corporations, by rich people. And the Republican Party, if it's associated with destroying the credit rating of the United States, they'll be out of power for another 30 years or something. I mean, that would be incredible. And they are going to cave. But the question is whether Obama caves. So we got this crazy, you know, kabuki dance going on now. And what I'm afraid of is that this guy Obama, who, you know, I had a lot of hopes for, voted for and everything else, I'm afraid he's going to give away, you know, at a time, you know, when we really need more money spent on jobs, when we need more money to help people. You give money to people, poor people, working people, they're going to spend it. You give it to rich people, they just salt it away somewhere.
Of course, and that's what they have been doing while they're making record profits and sitting all the money, and then you got the Republicans calling them job creators when they're nothing but. Listen, I got to take a quick break here. Speaking with Robert Scheer of TruthDig.com and everywhere else, author of The Great American Stick-Up. We're going to have more with him straight ahead, and then all your calls next hour at 877-520-1150. You're listening to Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. In for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. 8 minutes before the hour, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy, who will return tomorrow, never fear. I'm speaking with Robert Scheer, veteran journalist and columnist and editor-in-chief of TruthDig.com and author of, among many other things, The Great American Stick-Up, How Reagan Republicans and Clinton Democrats Enriched Wall Street While Mugging Main Street. Okay, Bob, let me ask you a big picture question here. In your 30 years of covering this kind of nonsense, have you... you have a greater perspective than I have. You covered Watergate and everything else. Have you ever seen something quite as insane, as dysfunctional as this all has become, as dangerous it seems to me that the Republican Party has come? Does anything compare to this in either your time covering D.C. and politics, or even the history of the nation as a whole, compared to what it is, this mania that we are seeing now from a Republican Party who seems hell-bent on just burning down the nation?
Well, yeah, we've had periods of madness. Certainly in my time, we went to wars that shouldn't have been fought. You remember, there was this Vietnam War. We just had naval maneuvers with communist Vietnam to check communist China, which is holding our debt. We had a whole Cold War and wasted enormous wealth in the lives of a lot of people fighting some international communist enemy that didn't materialize. And the Republican Party under good old Joe McCarthy and everyone else whipped the flames of hysteria, and people got thrown in jail for speaking sense and you know, got their careers destroyed and everything else for daring to challenge that view. We had under Ronald Reagan the Reagan Revolution, which told us just let Wall Street greed go unchecked, and we're going to have paradise. And then, of course, Bill Clinton bought into that, much more so than the first President Bush. And we had this wild deregulation, which I think is what has really hobbled the American economy. We also had these thing of, international trade negotiations where you don't care about jobs going overseas.
Mm-hmm.
You coddle these big corporations. I mean, no one's mentioning that. There's a news story just this morning in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, about how multinational corporate profits are raging wild. They're doing great. They're sitting on $2 trillion of money they don't invest, and they're creating jobs in Asia. You know, they're creating jobs everywhere in the world except here. I think my problem with the Republican Party is that they have this faux populism, false
mm-hmm.
populism, and the Tea Party people have been able to capture the legitimate rage out there of what happened to us, What happened to us? And why did we give all this money to Wall Street? Why did we bail out Wall Street and the jobs aren't here? So now what they're doing is blaming Obama's puny stimulus program. Well, a good chunk of that was necessary, was useful, extend unemployment, help the states,
mm-hmm.
save auto jobs in Detroit. Is real people really against, bailing out General Motors, and helping Chrysler? Come on. Let the Republicans be honest and say, no, we didn't want to extend unemployment. We didn't want to save, cops and teachers' jobs. They should have done more of that.
There's a legitimate outrage, but it was, they have hoaxed these people as to what they ought to be outraged about.
Right. Well, that's what they're about. They're dangerous in that they take funding from Wall Street, but they divert our attention away from the people of real power.
Robert Scheer, I've got just about a minute here left. I spoke with Robert Perry a few weeks ago. I interviewed him on the KPFK show, and he contends that basically the GOP is using CIA-like tactics to destroy the U.S. economy here the way they've done this abroad, and then you can roll in and the U.S. can save the day. Do you share that opinion? Do you think that's what the GOP is doing?
What we have is this very dangerous tendency in a society to blame everybody but the people with power. You blame immigrants, you blame the unions, you blame, seniors, you look for scapegoats, and that's what's happened when other advanced economies have crumbled. And the Republicans, yes, you're right, they're playing a very dangerous game because they're feeding into a hysteria that points the finger at every place except the centers of power that got us into this mess and are perpetuating it.
Always good to talk to you, sir. Let's do this again more often, because you're a hell of an interesting guy. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Robert Scheer of TruthDig.com, author of The Great American Stick-Up, and a man who has been paying attention for a long time, knows what the hell he's talking about. All right, much more straight ahead. Your calls and a whole lot more in the third hour of the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike. Get on board now, 877-520-1150. I'm not going to be back after, tonight. Well, I mean, eventually. But anyway, now's the time to get in. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Stay tuned.